And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Democratic candidate for governor Les Guerra was in Juneau last week campaigning. The candidate sat down with KTOO's Jeremy Shea on Friday to talk about why he's running, the state's finances, and how he thinks this new ranked choice voting system will play out.
Why don't you just introduce yourself and say what you're doing in elections this year?
Yeah, Les Guerra. It's been interesting running for governor. It's something I've wanted to do since I saw what this governor has been doing. And my view is based on how I grew up. My father was killed when I was six. I grew up in foster care. And I just developed this view that everybody deserves an opportunity to succeed in this world. Everybody deserves a good education. Everybody deserves the ability to get a good paying job. I believe in a living minimum wage so that you can work full time and not live in poverty. Those things matter to me. And I just don't see this state moving in a direction that gives anybody a chance to succeed unless you're already born wealthy.
Sounds like you've got a lot of issues with the current governor. Why did you feel this was a race you should step into with some of these other candidates?
He's had no plan, you know. I mean, he's the quintessential 1980s liberal. He proposes the spending, but not the way to pay for it. And I'd produce a permanent fund dividend people could bank on. And I would end this debate between you either get a dividend or you get schools or you get a university or you get a marine highway. No, you get those things, right? Those are things you get, but we have to end this $1.3 billion in unjustifiable oil company tax subsidies. This governor has chosen to make us poor. I'll put this state back on a road to prosperity again.
The advocates for the tax subsidies, oil tax industry subsidies, would say, you know, they're needed to maintain flow in the pipeline, royalties that are derived from that, and just that chunk of the economy, keeping it vibrant. Sounds like you think there's still a lot of room there for the state and the people to get a bigger piece of it without jeopardizing that, or is the end goal to try to transition off of oil there? What's your thought there?
You have to have a vibrant oil industry. I mean, you want to make sure the tax is fair to them. If we ended these oil company tax subsidies, what we would have is a 35% tax on oil company profits. We don't have that. But if you ended these tax credits, that would be the effect. You'd have a 35% tax on corporate profits. And look, you could adjust that up or down just a little bit, but it's $1.3 billion we're leaving on the table. And I voted to end those credits in the past. I'll work with the legislature to end them. Those people who want a bigger PFD need money to pay for a PFD, unless they're going to keep making it a false promise. People who want education funding know that they need funding. People who believe in a marine highway system know that it needs funding. You have to build a coalition of legislators who want different things and say to them, look, it's a false promise by all of you if you don't have the money to pay for it.
You've run for office many times, maybe not statewide, but what's different about the new election system from a candidate's perspective?
The big purpose of ranked choice voting was to let you vote for your favorite candidate and not have to choose your second choice candidate. And it says, look, if you want your second choice candidate, put them second. In August, you only get one vote. Vote for the candidate you want to make it to November. The top four candidates then go to November. And in November, then you rank your candidates. Rank your candidates the way you believe in them. If you're worried about Mike Dunleavy being reelected, you can vote for me first, Bill Walker second, and Mike Dunleavy doesn't get any of those votes. In this case, I think, you know, Bill Walker, who will be my second choice, will share votes. His voters will probably pick me as their second choice. My voters will probably pick him as their second choice. One of us will make it through.
You know, capital move, capital creep, that's always on the mind of folks in the capital city. I don't know if you have any commitments or promises you can make about where you'll physically be if you're elected governor and where your commissioners and, you know, various state employees will be.
Sure. Juneau's a state capital, right? I mean, this whole idea of trying to secretly move the capital out of Juneau by sending employees out of Juneau is not something that I support. It's the capital city. When I'm down here working with the legislature, I want to have my commissioners down here working with the legislature, not just 2 days a week. I'm going to need them all week. And if they don't want to do that, then they're not going to be my commissioner. This is the capital city, and I support that.
All right. Thanks, Les.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate it.
That was KTOO reporter Jeremy Shea talking with Democratic candidate for governor Les Guerra. KTOO will sit down with interviews with other candidates for governor when they campaign in Juneau. In other news, Juneau's Riverbend Elementary may soon be getting a new Tlingit name. KTOO's Bridget Dowd reports.
Kach Degu Wu Heen translates to going back to clear water. It's used to refer to a part of the Mendenhall River and could soon be used to refer to the elementary school that sits on its banks in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley. Juneau's Board of Education discussed the proposed name change at its Tuesday night meeting. Occoquan elder Bob Sam spoke at the meeting. He says the name honors the strength and resilience of the Tlingit people who were able to set fish traps in unforgiving currents.
And it requires great strength to hold the fish trap and the fish net in the river. And we're going to use it as an allegory for the school. And the fish net will be seen as a safety net to wrap around the students and make them feel safe when they come into the school.
Sam and Fran Houston worked together to come up with the name. Houston is the tribal spokesperson for the Occoquan. Her Tlingit name is Sekuni, and she's from the Yaktahit. She says when she talked to other members, they were thrilled that the school wanted a Tlingit name.
It is so beautiful that these children have that opportunity on what's being taught to them now. Because even back in my day, it wasn't even thought of. And I know it makes all of us stand tall and be proud.
The school also put a video together about the new name, featuring its students.
Our new school is named Kach-Kach-Kuh-Hing.
Houston says when she saw the video, she was tickled pink.
It's a gift for these students. And they can say the Tlingit name better than I can. And it is so wonderful that these schools want Tlingit names. And I don't think we're done yet.
Other schools in Juneau have added Tlingit names to their existing titles. But Riverbend Principal Elizabeth Peisel-Davis says they want to replace their name completely.
It's very important to bring these names back to life. So we see it as not eliminating a name, but reclaiming the name that was always here.
The hope is also that by having only a Tlingit name and no English option, the students will get in the habit of using it. The board is expected to vote on the name change at its next regular meeting on May 10th.
It's still Riverbend, but you're changing Riverman's name. Kach-Kach-Kuh-Hing.
In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
And in other news, a totem pole that's carved all the way around was just finished in Juneau this week. It's the first of its kind in Alaska, and in a last-minute celebration yesterday, people danced and sang to honor the artists who carved and painted the pole. KTOO's Lindsay Brolini has this story.
The Alaska Heritage Institute's arts campus isn't finished yet, but on a sunny mid-April afternoon, about 50 people gathered there to celebrate a totem pole being completed. It's called the Sea Alaska Cultural Values Totem Pole, and it's been in the works for over half a year. It's a 360-degree pole, which means it's carved all the way around instead of just on one side. The lead carver is head artist T.J. Young, but he didn't do it alone. He had the help from his brother Joe Young and from apprentices Andrea Cook and Greg Frisbee.
I'd like to thank my apprentices. They did a really good job. They showed up every day.
Young also got help from Tsimshian artist David R. Boxley and Tlingit artist Robert Mills. He wanted a Tsimshian and a Tlingit carver to carve a figure on the top, since the three figures together represents the three native tribes of Southeast Alaska. The Institute's president Rosita Worrell says she thought all the figures were going to be male.
And do you know what they did? They put a woman on that totem pole.
After the pole was finished, Will asked the Yiskuu dancers to perform a few songs. Leader of the dance group, Nancy Barnes, says she was excited to be performing again.
We haven't been together. We've been Zooming every Saturday. But when Rosita asked us if we'd come out for this, we wanted to honor these awesome artists.
The pole is still lying down where it was being carved and painted. It will be installed later and unveiled when the arts campus opens. Young says it'll probably be in June. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
And as for the weather, it's currently 42 degrees and sunny with some high winds. This is Yvonne Crumry, and I am broadcasting from KTOO's newsroom.